open line phone number is 752-4000. Please remember that all calls will be live on the air. Now, here's the host of your talk show, Tim Bremmel.
It's like a time warp. 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. converging.
Really?
How about that? Jimbo Hannon.
Yes, that's me. They're playing my song, Tim. Yeah. What can I say?
Welcome to the studio.
Morning, Jet. It's good to be here. Good to be back in Janesville. Had a call the other night about some topic from Janesville, and said, just as an aside, I'll be joining Tim and Jet on Monday morning and all, so they indicated they might call in. So.
Oh, terrific. All right. We're always glad when Jimbo shows up in person. Obviously, you hear him most nights. Well, brewer season, sometimes it's not until around 10 o'clock, but 9 o'clock or after the Brewers during the summer, that's
exactly
what we say.
And, exactly. Now, tonight and tomorrow night, it'll be McGraw-Millhaven from News Talk 550 KTRS in St. Louis who'll be filling in.
Because
for me.
You are actually not there. I'll
actually be here, yeah. I don't actually take the time off. I have broadcast from here or other remote locations, but I just decided you get time off. Why don't you take time off?
Yes, actually, not do the show. Let someone else do the show. So. Wade Williams would probably fill in for you. He's my fill-in.
There you go. I like it.
Well, a lot going on in the second hour. I thought we'd have some interesting conversation, having just finished our severe weather tests and all those things during National Severe Weather Awareness Week. And we have a gentleman by the name of Alex Skolton joining us, who is a local resident. People in the areas to the south of Janesville may know the family. Alex's grandfather was a well-known physician. His father actually worked for us in a capacity of account executive for a number of years. And Alex somehow became one of these kids that just went off on his own. And so he didn't follow in the family footsteps, so to speak. But weather interested in him. And he is now a professional storm chaser.
Wow.
And not only is he a professional storm chaser, he has made a business out of it. And you and I think we should do this, Jimbo, could actually call them, reserve a seat, and they will take us storm chasing.
Well, you know, number one, I do it in an instant. But number two, I really don't want a divorce.
And there's always that factor between guys and women. Why is that?
I don't know why. I would do it in an instant. Of course, I signed up also to be the first journalist in space, too, and that, although I would not have been selected, I don't think, but I wanted to do that, and I think storm chasing would be just an absolute hoot.
It is one of those things. Three guys in the room here. Okay.
Yeah.
We're all going about our business in our domiciles, and the tornado sirens go off. What happens?
Well, me having two small children, mm-hmm. I usher them to the basement,
sure.
And then I go out and look outside.
Look outside.
Yeah. My wife goes to the basement. Yeah. I go to the front porch.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. I got to find it. And then, of course, I always utter the famous line, you know, I could outrun that.
Yeah.
Which is actually true. I know they say don't ever try it, but the fact is that there's not a tornado in history that's ever been clocked at 110.
No. Yeah. So,
as long as you keep that in your rearview mirror, it seems to me you'd be okay.
You ought to be okay. Yeah. This is why there's a slightly larger female population than there
I think
is
that
male
probably
to that
is.
Degree.
Let's not forget that in portions of the country, the last words of those between 18 and 30 who die, their last words are, hey, watch this.
Absolutely. Well, so that's coming up in hour number two. And, of course, Ag Matters at 11 o'clock this morning. So first hour, I thought since we had Jimbo, who does a lot of talk to a lot of different guests nationally, we might visit what most of the big news outlets are visiting, and that's President Trump's first 100 days, which I think will end on
April 30th, I believe.
Yeah. So, how's he doing?
I think he's doing okay. I mean, let's face it, you can only judge a president by what they do and what they do with Congress, and Congress has not been constructive, but Congress always has its own timetable. Mm-hmm. He's done in executive orders most of what he was going to do. He's pulled out a TPP and a host of other activities that he's taken and signed into law. This whole 100 days thing goes back to Franklin Roosevelt in his first term. Franklin Roosevelt had in 1933 overwhelming Democratic majorities in the House and the Senate. I mean, way past veto-proof, even if there had been any vetoes issued. And, of course, and we had a Great Depression, a great crisis. So, I mean, you had bills coming out of Congress like candy bars out of a vending machine.
Yeah.
And for some reason, that has been chosen as the benchmark of the 100 days. And no one, I don't know of any president who, maybe Lyndon Johnson came close because he had a, following his landslide victory in 1965, he had a lot of stuff coming out of Congress. Mostly presidents don't do that well in the first 100 days.
Well, you have that honeymoon period, which Donald Trump arguably did not have.
No, there was no honeymoon there.
And so that, you know, you didn't even make a lot of progress in that regard. The executive orders, many people have said, are toothless. They're him telling certain committees to form and investigate this or come back with this or come back with that. And I think Donald Trump has characterized it to date as the first 100 days are laying the groundwork for what will be done over a four-year administration.
Well, I think that's fair to say. It's interesting to note that his language in office has been considerably more quiet and restrained than it was as a candidate. So perhaps that's a recognition of reality, or I'm not sure.
In all the years that you've been doing this and obviously commenting on a variety of Democratic and Republican presidents, Donald Trump has to be, at this stage in the game, one of the – I don't know how you want to characterize it, but one of the people who has gone back on what he has said in various ways as he gets into the job.
Well,
you know, even right now we're talking about the wall, and the wall needs funding, and Mexico was going to pay for the wall, and maybe they can get that to happen indirectly through trade deals and those kinds of things. But eventually, somebody's got to pay the contractor, and that's going to have to be us, and that's going to become a budgetary thing, and Congress is already looking like that's not going to happen.
No, and plus you've got then him saying that the Dreamers don't have to worry, which is a far cry from what he said in the campaign, mm-hmm. And all the tweets he issued about Obama's stay out of Syria, and now we're talking tough on Syria. I mean, let's put it bluntly. Donald Trump has a great versatility of conviction, okay? You don't know.
That's a very kind way of putting that.
He is not a person driven by beliefs. He's just a, hey, I'm a tough guy. I'm a tough New Yorker, whatever. Apparently that's very appealing to a lot of people. I happen to prefer a certain consistency of viewpoint. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know where people are coming from, and at least what they're going to try to do. So, yeah, I suppose he hasn't done a whole lot, and he has certainly switched views on any number of issues. Not just now, of course. I mean, you could find Donald Trump quotes out there totally opposed to abortion, completely for every abortion being allowed and anywhere in between. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just been all over the map. He has spent the last couple of years shopping for a viewpoint, and I'm happy that he seems to have, for the most part, decided to adopt mine. But, yeah. So how you judge him is going to be kind of tough to do. How do you judge him on his campaign rhetoric or what he seems to be trying to do now that he's in office?
What do you think the implications are, Jimbo, as it relates to this whole tax return thing and tax reform? You've heard that now where basically no matter what the tax reform package might be, the Democrats have largely said until Donald Trump releases his tax return, we're going to oppose tax reform. It seems like a conundrum that is unsolvable.
Well, it's unnecessary, for two reasons. Number one, the two are not equatable, and Democrats are just scoring points. Number two, Donald Trump should have just released his darn returns and be done with it. I mean, there's nothing that could conceivably be in there that could be that embarrassing other than maybe to learn that he's not quite as rich as everybody said he was. There's certainly no such thing as because I'm being audited, I can't release my tax returns. That's bogus. Every president and every presidential candidate ought to release their tax returns. But having said that, this is a lame reason to oppose tax reform. The big problem, I think, here again is that you've got split Republicans. You know, if Republicans were united, you wouldn't have a problem. I mean, you know, on Obamacare, you had the split Republicans and the Freedom Caucus, mm-hmm. Often in a different direction. I think ultimately they're probably going to simply pass Obamacare, but everywhere in Obamacare the word mandate appeared, they're going to put in the words pretty please. That's what it sounds like to me. On this tax reform thing, the big sticking point, of course, is this border tax, and a lot of businesses don't want that border tax. But, I mean, Trump campaigned at the core of his constituency on protecting American jobs, mm-hmm. and that is to say punishing companies who export jobs and then try to ship the products right back into the U.S. market. So we're going to find out real fast who Trump likes better, his core constituency, which first nominated him, or the big influential donors and the like in the Republican Party. And he may not depend on donors, but I'll guarantee you that that Republicans in Congress do, and they are not happy about the thought of angering those people.
Yeah, and they
let's not forget one thing, one important thing here, and that is the Republican Party was subjected to a hostile takeover. Donald Trump is not a doctrinaire Republican.
No, no.
Even his vice president has been pretty loyal, but he's a right down the line conservative Republican. Donald Trump is not on trade policy, on foreign policy, certainly on entitlements. Go back to over a year ago, the first primaries and caucuses, and Trump was up there with the cast of thousands on those primary debate stages. All these other people up here will cut your entitlements. I won't. Donald Trump does not want to touch an entitlement. He wants to spend $1 trillion on infrastructure. And if you ever heard Donald Trump as candidate or president say the words deficit or debt, he seems utterly blind to the problem of the debt. So that's where he is not a Republican.
Though, as businessman, based on what public information we have about how he runs his businesses, and I'm not suggesting he's doing anything outside what the laws allow, but the laws allow you to pile up a bunch of debt and then, we'll just declare bankruptcy and get out from under it and whatever. So debt doesn't matter in the mind of Donald Trump, perhaps.
Perhaps it doesn't. I mean, putting everything on the gross national credit card has been a longstanding tradition in this country, and politicians act on the fact, are we screwing over our kids and our grandkids? If they were held down and given truth serum, they would respond, yes, we are. Mm-hmm. But, of course, the kids can't vote and the grandkids aren't born yet. So I'm only worried about today's constituents who want a free lunch. And if we have to shaft future generations, we'll do it. Now, that's if they were under truth serum.
All right. Hey, Jim Bohannon is in the studio. You want to open up the phone lines for a half an hour or so?
Hey, what the heck?
And it's not 85. What is your normal number?
1-866-50-JIMBO.
But not that one today.
Not that
that's
one today.
That's the nighttime number.
That's right.
The daytime number is the same as it always is.
That's
752-4000.
That's right.
We'll be right back. Take your calls if you want to join in the conversation with Jim Bohannon and myself and even Chet from time to time. Give us a holler at 752-4000. We'll be right back on your talk show.